Welcome to the Workshop Therapy Podcast. I am not your host, Andrew Hatch. He's sitting beside me.
Good job. That was wonderful. I was going to go like this first, though.
I forgot your music. Do you want to do it again?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Welcome to the Workshop Therapy Podcast.
You're totally redoing it.
Well, it's after the intro. Okay. Anyway. Now that that's done. Running a little bit late today. As most of you know, we're in the process of moving. And, schedules get affected. But thought we'd kind of revisit an old topic, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I think one of the first episodes we did, we talked about living a life with chapters. Do you remember that?
Maybe.
But obviously in our current state of upheaval and stress, I ran across a talk here or a speech recently where the guy was talking about living an iterative life. And it got me thinking about iterative design and how when you're designing something, you start with a rough idea. And then you iterate on that idea until you kind of get to your end product. And then you go into your production of whatever it is, you know, your piece of furniture, your art or your product, whatever you're doing. And it got me thinking that sometimes we almost always live in a life of iteration. You know, I don't know how often. Maybe for other people, life is completely different, but I don't know how often our life has gone exactly according to plan.
Never.
I planned to marry you. That worked.
Yeah, well, since then, it's been not. And maybe that's part of sharing your life with someone else.
Maybe you made a mistake.
No, but I mean, like, I think we get a false sense of the way that life is going to go, especially in high school. Because if you put in the work and you do the thing, you get this, right? And that's not how life goes. You can put in the work all you want. And the reality is other people have influence on what happens. You can't control everything.
Yeah.
And when you choose to share your life with someone else, that's automatically going to create waves of change that are going to be different than what you thought it was going to be. And it's down to little things like, honestly, before we got married, never cared about the whole, I never even knew that there was a toilet paper up or down thing. No idea. And that's just like a little non-meaning thing, but it is something that changes like how I put toilet paper on the bathroom. I don't know why I went there this morning, but anyway, there's little things like that that I think cause that iterative life to change, right?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the resilience of being alive, or the ability to be resilient when you're being alive. Because if you're like Carol Dweck's fixed mindset thing,
yeah,
right? If you have a fixed mindset of this is how things have to be, then you're much more rigid, mm-hmm. and you're much less flexible in how you approach challenges. And so if you're in a relationship, and let's say the great toilet paper debate, for example, should the paper be on the inside or should the paper be on the outside? If you're in a relationship and you have a fixed mindset to the extent that you have to have the toilet paper facing one way or the other. And let's say the other person is equally fixed mindset in that same regard.
You're getting divorced over toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly. Your relationship is doomed. There's lots of things where I'm like, yes, you didn't know it was a thing. I didn't actually know it was a thing. I just thought there was a right way to put toilet paper on. I didn't realize everybody, or well, not everybody. I didn't realize there was a whole internet debate about it too. But at the same time, like, I don't, did I ever make an issue of it? I just changed the toilet paper roll. And then I think we had a couple conversations about it at some point, but never, I don't think I ever came out of the bathroom yelling at anybody.
No, nothing like that. I mean, you brought it up several times about it being wrong. That's how I know it's wrong.
And, well, according to me.
Yeah.
But yeah. There are other people there out there who have the opposite opinion.
Yeah.
And of course, they're wrong. But they're allowed to have that opinion.
But there's different things. Like, I don't want to paint you as like this horrible. Because I'm very specific about how the table gets set.
That is true.
That needs to be done that way. And it's hard for me with kids. And it's hard for me with the kids when they do it. And I really try and just be like, okay, let's remember these go on this side. And I'm not be as rigid as I am in my head. Is screaming in pain that it's not happening the way that it should be and it doesn't look perfect every dinner. Like, honestly, for me, I would like every dinner to have a crisp white tablecloth, napkins, dishes on set, everything, candles in the center, flowers, the whole nine yards. That's what I see in my head every time I start making dinner.
That explains why you always feel like a failure, because you never achieve that goal.
No. And I've tried to like change it and adjust it and be like, okay, we don't need the tablecloth. We just need the dishes on the table. But for it's just, it doesn't work. I still see it every time.
But that's where, going back to the iterative thing though, is if you have an end goal in mind and your first attempt fails, you either have the choice to give up or you have the choice to iterate on that and learn from your mistakes. You learn from your failures and you change what happens next time. And maybe there's 5,000, 10,000 iterations,
yeah,
but maybe there's only two. Then you'll never know unless you actually iterate and unless you actually try to change and move forward and progress.
And I think that's one thing I was really lucky at as a musician. You learn that you have to practice, but practicing the same thing over and over again isn't going to get you anywhere if you don't change something.
Yeah. And
right. If you keep practicing the mistake or you don't practice the mistake, you just push on. Because I mean, honestly, I hate when I have to go in and just play the same bar over and over and over and over and over again until I can get it right 10 times in a row. But that changes the pattern in my brain and then I can put it together and then the whole song changes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like that's part of it is being willing to do that. I think that's what we're doing in our life is, okay, this part isn't working. We're not pulling out of being together. We're not pulling out of being a family. We're not pulling out of growth or anything like that. But this part isn't working, so let's be willing to change that. And I think in a lot of people that I've seen that are really struggling and struggling relationship wise, they're not willing to change anything.
Yeah, they have that fixed mindset of I'm right or they're wrong.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Or there's something outside of their personal control.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play that blame game of it's not my fault, it's somebody else's or something else's, then you give up control. And I know that's something that we've talked about before too on here is, you know, like you can choose to act or you can choose to be acted upon. And absolutely there are things that are outside of, there are circumstances that are outside of your control. COVID was a perfect example of upheaval and change.
Yeah.
And in the very, I mean, I'm doing the masters I'm doing largely because of COVID, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, like I was looking at master's programs prior to that, and I was looking at changing careers prior to that because I kind of had an inkling of what was going to happen. But because of COVID, the world changed how it viewed online meetings.
Yep.
In which case, you know, working with people, counseling people and talking about their problems, I can do remotely from anywhere instead of in my office, which is an iteration of my life that I have not enjoyed. I have not enjoyed having to go to an office. I like meeting with people. I like treating people. I like helping people get better. But having to be in the office to do so has always been a frustration for me. So yeah. Now we have the opportunity to change that. We can iterate on what has worked, change the parts that haven't worked, and take another step forward.
Oh, I feel the same way about starting my master's. It's a change in what I like, but to be more focused on the parts that I liked.
Yeah.
And I do feel the same way. COVID changed that for me. It's not the same as it was before. Like for me, I have a degree in music and a degree in education, and I taught for years, but it's not the same as it was. And you lost the individuality of the kids. It's become more, it's just not what it was. And dealing with things with our son and special education being what it is in Canada, non-existent, changes how I view what I want to do for the rest of my life, because I want to make an impact. To me, making an impact on the one has always been important. And so that it's a different iteration that we're moving into. The same with moving, right? Like, it's not that we don't love the people that we're living around. We have some great neighbors. We've had some amazing neighbors here. But
unfortunately, lots of them have died.
Yes, they have. We've had a lot of loss here. And that's been a hard iteration for us and for our kids. Yeah. And yeah, we need to be willing. For me, the connection to nature is a big part of the move. I need that again.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the mountains and trees, and being on the Bald Prairie has been hard nature self for me.
Yeah, and I've never enjoyed the Bald Prairie either. Grew up in trees and
yeah,
with water nearby and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, those are, and I think as you're willing to accept those iterations on your life, and when you realize things like being close to water is super important to me. Being close to trees. I grew up in the hug a tree movement. I mean, it was like, oops, you're lost in the trees, stay there and hug it. But at the same point, I did hug trees lots, and I like hugging trees. And it's not because I'm a weird, like, okay, maybe a bit, but trees smell good. And there's things to, like, I want our kids to play in that environment, not in a plastic playground on a scorching hot open desert prairie.
I agree.
So
that's the thing about iteration, though, you know, like sometimes you iterate wrong.
Yep.
And,
yes.
You know, sometimes you iterate and it's great. And of course there's always the choice to keep iterating until you perish in the attempt. You know, I don't think any of us are ever going to reach perfection in this life, but there are things that you can live with, and then there's things that you can change. And it's always a judgment call of, is this worth changing? Do I actually want to change this? Is this good enough? But when there's certain things that your main priorities, I guess, if your main priorities still aren't being met by your iteration, whether that's my picture doesn't look quite right, my piece of furniture doesn't feel quite right, my music doesn't sound quite right, you can either give up or you can iterate and you can change it. And so, yeah, that I guess is.
Yeah, and that willingness is the growth that you will experience in your life, that willingness to experience that, to see that. And I think when you stop doing that, that's when life stops.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I think you see a lot of retired people struggle with, is a lack of iteration.
Yeah, and a lack of, yeah. So it's a fundamental law of the universe, right? It's one of the law of entropy. There's either energy going into a system or it's decaying, one of the two.
Yep.
So you're either iterating and changing and improving.
Yep.
or you're falling apart. So,
or both, because we're getting old.
parts of your iterations are falling apart. Yeah.
I agree.
So on that, let's wrap it up. Do you want to say thank you to the patrons?
Thank you to our patrons.
We appreciate the support.
We really do.
If you want to leave a review.
Or ask us a question.
You can send a question to questions@workshoptherapypodcast.com. And we'll put it on here.
Yes, we would like that.
And if you use a funny voice, we may even make fun of it. But I doubt it. My wife is way too nice. I might make fun of it. But my wife isn't. I did have a guest planned for the next episode. However, because of circumstances currently, we're not able to get them on. So hopefully I'll get them on in the future. And yeah, thanks for listening.
So if you found anything from this episode to be helpful and you want to reinforce it for yourself, I'd like to invite you to share it with a friend in the next 24 hours. That'll help reinforce it in your mind and it'll help those around you, which is always a good thing. So thanks again for listening. And now I'd like to say thank you to all the amazing patrons of the Workshop Therapy Podcast. You guys make the show possible. If you're finding the show helpful and you want to support it, there are a few tiers, including a simple $1 a month option to just say thanks. For $5 a month, you can get access to the patrons only feed that has a pre-show and a post-show in addition to the regular podcast all in one feed. You all know that the good stuff happens after the official mics are off, right? If you can't support financially, I totally understand, but I'd love it if you left a 5-star review or told a friend about the podcast. If you have any questions or feedback, I'd love to hear that as well. Send it to questions@workshoptherapypodcast.com and I'll get it on the show.
I want to say thank you to all the patrons of the Workshop Therapy Podcast, but especially to the founding fathers, and they are Mr. Matthew Serio from Argiano Serio, Mr. Brad Harrison of Brad's Customs, Mr. Keith Drennan of Blackthorn Concepts, Mr. Eric Peterson of Overall Maker Works, Mr. Brandon Millichamp of Tectonic Creations, and the one and only, the Grant Alexander. So a special thank you to the founding fathers, and thank you to everybody who supports and shares the Workshop Therapy Podcast.